There we go. Okay, so the meeting was called to order at 8:36 p.m. Eastern Time. Again, roll call, Kim Laird is present. Kevin Axtell?
Present.
Matt Hall?
Present.
Richard Kennison?
Here.
Dave Pawson?
Present.
Tom Wall?
Here.
Aaron Stevens? Aaron is not yet here. Mike Sullivan?
Here.
Martin Frost?
Here.
And Sandy Brown?
Here.
And is anyone else here that I didn't hear?
Marilyn is here.
Marilyn's here.
Hi, Marilyn. Marilyn Sullivan is here.
And our treasurer checked in.
Oh, that's right. John Nickel is here.
Yes, I'm here.
Good. Thank you, John. Thanks for joining us tonight. Sandy Brown has joined us because she has volunteered to be our recording secretary. So that will be in the motion area, and we'll take care of making that official if everyone's okay with that. Approval of agenda. We need a motion to approve this evening's agenda.
I'll make that motion. Kevin A.
Okay, Kevin has the motion. Second, please.
I'll second.
Seconded.
Okay, Dave Pawson got that one first.
Yeah.
All right, so the agenda for this evening is approved. Were there any corrections or additions that anyone wanted to make?
I'd like to make a motion. I guess it's an addition. It's a motion to approve $120 for the, I guess it's a donation premium for helping support the IJ video tutorial contest.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll have more details about that when I talk.
Okay. You said that's for $120, right?
Yeah, $120.
Okay.
And what is that for? This is Sandy.
I'll explain it more. It's for a donation premium, basically.
Okay.
There are some costs associated with the IJ video tutorial contest, and I'd like to be able to raise more funds, but have a little something to give to donate.
Okay. Alrighty. So, moving along then, if there are no other additions or corrections, is there anyone opposed to the agenda for this evening? Any abstentions? Okay, the motion or the agenda is approved. The approval of minutes from December 14th, we do not have a copy of them in front of us, so do we have a table or a motion to table the approval of these minutes?
I'll move to table, Kevin A.
Okay, do we have a second to table?
I'll second, Mr. Tom.
Okay. Anyone opposed? Any abstentions? Okay, minutes from December 14th have been, that approval has been tabled. Reports. Matt, 2012 Fest.
Let's see here. I got a lot of stuff, but and I want to run it by you guys to kind of make sure that I'm not heading down the wrong path here. First thing is the master schedule. I've got a master schedule kind of drawn up. I went over through the last 10 years or so and looked at what has been done in the past in terms of when certain events are held. And am I hearing that? Or?
Yeah, we're getting feedback from someone.
Sorry.
Okay. So went back through the last 10 years, and it's really interesting to see how different events move and kind of shift in the timeline and so forth, and similarly with the cost of a full package and things like that. So what I have right now is tentative, and if you guys think I'm headed in the wrong direction, I would love to hear what you guys think. But here's what I've got for the Monday through Sunday timeline. Monday, nothing. It's always essentially nothing. Tuesday, joggling. And I put that there tentatively because Glenn Furman really wants to have it on Saturday. But unless somebody can, you know, if any of you feel that you're in agreement with that and moving it to Saturday, then we can talk about it. But if everybody thinks it should be on Tuesday or Wednesday, then I want to keep it where it is because I don't see it working on Saturday. It might work, but we'll see. And that depends on the other things. So Tuesday, essentially, you're looking at joggling and nothing else that evening. Monday and Tuesday evenings are empty. Wednesday, the big things are the AGM, juniors, and the youth showcase. And I want to move numbers to Wednesday during the day. Thursday would be the seniors in the evening, of course. The planting the seed show would happen Thursday during the early morning, you know, 10, 11-ish. And X juggling would happen a little bit later in the afternoon. I've talked to Jack Calvin. He's agreed to cut it to 60 to 90 minutes max. I'm going to keep working on trying to get it to 60 or maybe 90 could work. But no more three-hour-plus extravaganzas. It doesn't work. And then Friday would be Cascade of Stars in the evening. And earlier that day would be games part one. I want to split the games this year into a part one and part two. Make them, instead of once again making them this massive three-hour, three-and-a-half-hour thing on one day, split them up and make part of them on Friday and part of them on Saturday. And I don't have a games director yet because Andy Shepard might not be able to come this year, so I'm still looking for a games director. But my feeling is that we could do it either, you know, have the endurance games on one day and the fun, silly games on another day, or mix it up and say, you know, some endurance, some silly on both days. That could work too. And this is an idea that I got from the Melbourne Festival in Australia, and it seemed like it worked well there, so I want to try it here. And then Sunday, of course, is just kind of the last day closing and so forth. So we're looking at three evening events, which would be the U Showcase and Juniors on Wednesday, the Seniors on Thursday, and the Cascade of Stars on Friday, leaving Saturday night open. Or just kind of the last, you know, night in the gym, everybody's together, you know. Maybe Renegade, maybe not. I haven't figured out where the Renegade would go yet. Either Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, so they're the same nights as the various competitions, or maybe we shove them and then go Thursday, Friday, Saturday, but that would kind of defeat the point of keeping Saturday night open so everybody can be in the gym and just having fun. That's the general idea.
So, Matt, just to be clear, there is no indie prop.
That is correct.
All right.
Yeah, Michael Karras does not want to run it, and In my opinion, I think it needs to go away for a little bit before it regains its kind of stature. At this point, the last 2 years at least, it's just been, you know, 80% of the competitors are individuals, competitors using their competition routines, which is not
on a hiatus, not gone for good.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's gone for this year. I mean, that's 1 year. But, yeah, I think we can make absence make the heart grow fonder and just say, all right, we're taking a break this year. Everybody go practice your two-minute routines, which, of course, you'll use in your competitions routine, which you're not supposed to. I mean, I've been telling the Japanese guys for the last 5 years, verbatim, fluent Japanese, look, don't use your competition routine. And who got, you know, who was in the Diablo last year? Takahata-san with his competition routine against Jacob Sharp. And there are only two Diabloists, no boxes, you know, like you know, the balls are still strong, the clubs are still strong, but as a whole, as an event, we're not getting enough bang for our buck. I mean, it's fun, but I want to see what happens when we take it out of the schedule and free up some of that time so that people just have time to breathe and go to workshops, which is some of the feedback that we got this year. You know, like, there's just too much crap going on. You know, numbers, X juggling, and championships all on the same day. That's just crazy. You know, the people I'm talking to are saying we should change it. So that's where I'm at.
Hey, Matt, is there a welcome show?
No.
Okay.
And part of that...
Does Bill know that?
Well, Bill has the benefit show, which is going to be done at the Boys Center.
Okay.
And that's on Monday. So, oh. But I'm talking about things that use our facilities, I guess you should say.
Okay, good.
And given that we rent the theater by the hour, is that correct, Kim?
Yes.
Yeah, we'll be lucky if we get three nights in the theater, much less four, so.
Right. No, that's fine. That's good.
That is games part two on Saturday?
Yes, that was the goal. games on Friday and Saturday split evenly in terms of time. So we could do, you know, we could do 1 hour on Friday and 2 hours on Saturday, or we could do 90 minutes on both days, which also frees up some, you know, it doesn't chuck as much time away on any particular day away from, say, workshops, things like that.
Cool.
Hey, Matt.
Yeah, shoot.
In Minnesota, that same ridiculous day that had X juggling and numbers and other stuff, that's also the busking was in the middle of that. If
right.
the Fun Fund ends up deciding to do busking again, have you given any thought to where that might fall in the week?
To be honest, no. And part of the reason I say no is because I've been to Winston-Salem twice, and I don't see anywhere where we can do busking that's near the festival site. I you know, like, I'm going to be on that Fun Fund committee, and I will absolutely argue against doing busking again.
Yeah, the only place even close to use to do busking in Winston-Salem is during their Thursday farmers market that's right there in the art center. But there's
right.
not much of a crowd there, so I don't see it working in Winston-Salem.
Yeah, we don't even know if we can have permission to do that, really. So
right.
I want to suggest another type of contest, and I don't have that specific contest, but I'm talking more specifically to you, Dave, because it sounds like the busking competition won't work out well in this particular circumstance, but maybe there's another type of competition that would fit, and it would be juggler-centric, and it would happen in the gym, and it could be a separate thing, perhaps, just different, not existent.
Yeah, it could be. It's probably beyond the scope of this meeting, but it's probably more
yeah, that's
a question for the Fun Fund. So.
Yeah, and to be honest, and Fun Fun, like, I've got the results from the Survey Monkey that I did
Aaron,
for
Steven.
Fun Fun. Hey, Aaron.
Hi. Hey,
Aaron. Hi. In any case, yeah, part of this will be a Fun Fun discussion rather than maybe a discussion for the whole board, at least in the initial part. But the Survey Monkey results from the Fun Fun survey that I did right, literally the night the festival ended in July. You know, I've had them sitting there the whole time, and I finally got around to looking at them. And it's interesting reading. I had 115 replies, which, you know, out of 250 plus is not great. But you know, there's some interesting comments there. And the data that it suggests that in some areas were very strong. You know, the lounge was, you know, without a doubt, the winner. You know, it wasn't even close. You know, whereas the yo-yos were the big loser, you know, like, let's not spend $1,000+ on that again, that kind of thing. But like I said, we can go over the details of that later. You notice also that NACO, the North American Kendama Association, you know, that open, I haven't put that anywhere in the schedule yet, merely because I have no one to do it. And, you know, it's only 50 minutes to an hour every year, but if I can't get somebody to do it, I'm just not going to put it in. If we want to do it, you know, on the fly there at the festival, we can do that. I want to leave the schedule relatively open, and then if we want to fill things in later, that's fine. But for now, this is the skeleton I'm looking at, and I need you guys to tell me whether or not the skeleton is sound.
I think it is. I think
to look at it visually, and it sounds good to listen to it, but maybe we could get a PDF or a spreadsheet or something just so we can see it.
Yeah, no, that's not a problem. I've got a Word document here. I just didn't send it to you guys yet because I was going to make changes to it as we talk here now, and then I can send it to you again.
Okay.
So
your main goals seem pretty solid. It seems like things are thinned out just a little bit and spread out throughout the week a little better, and I think those are both good goals.
Yeah, we're not. I mean, once again, you'll see. I've got the sheet I've got that I'll send you guys is basically it starts at 2001 and goes down to 2012, and you can just see what Tuesdays look like for the last 12 years. You can or 10 years. You can look at Wednesday and see what that's been like. Some of these days are jam packed. Like, so my goal is to kind of empty it out a little bit. Let's, you know, let's start, not to say start fresh, but let's start with basics, and then we can build up if we want to. So that's the first part. Second part is cost. My goal is to, I mean, given the budget that we're all sent, the costs for festival registration have not changed, right? You know, 2009, 2010, 2011, and now 2012 will have the essentially the same price structure. You know, $199 for pre-reg, $239 with a cutoff date or anywhere between probably April 30th, and then a final cutoff date June 30th, after which you pay full price, which would be $259. Ticket prices would be the same again, $25 for championships, $30 for Cascade Stars, $15 for a T-shirt. Those haven't changed for the last 3 years, and that would be my goal this year, is to keep it, you know, for the fourth consecutive year, and you know, we can say, look, people, times are tough, and yet we haven't raised our prices in the last 4 years. So that's what the budget is based on. Does everybody have a copy of the budget? Can they open it?
Yes.
Okay, can you guys do that now?
Yep.
I might not be able to open mine on my computer, but I'll try.
Okay.
Good luck.
I looked at it particularly, though, today, so I remember quite a bit.
All right. Let's break out the budget and get dirty. Get down and dirty here. Because we've got operating budget, which is IJA, estimated cash balances. That's one. We're going to have to pull out all three, I guess, and just kind of play with it. So I'm looking at the 2012 proposed FEST budget. And I'll just take you down through it. So real quick, you'll notice that right now I set an estimated attendance at 200. That might be low, and certainly if we think I should raise it a little bit just to, at this point we have no idea. But maybe 200 is a reasonable amount given previous year's attendance at Winston-Salem. That maybe is low. So I need some feedback on that. And then as we go down to, we can go down through ticket sales and so on and so forth. Basically, total festival income, there's not much there. I mean, we're getting what we get. Then we go into expenses. These are things where I have some questions, for example. For awards, right, $6,900 in Winston-Salem 2009, $7,600 in 2010. I budgeted $7,000. Now, by awards, we're talking about the cash prizes we pay to the winners. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay, I'll make sure.
And the medals.
Yeah, doggling medals. And, Kim, correct me if I'm wrong, also plaques, right, special awards?
The plaques are separated out on this.
Yeah, I
saw. Sorry.
But the awards are the cash prizes for championships, for numbers, and for prop comp. Medals for joggling, medals for the championships.
I thought the medals for joggling came out of Fun Fund last year.
No, the ribbons did.
Yeah, Len Furman's got his own budget that he sent me about joggling, and I think there might be some double, dipping here. So he can take it out of his, I can take it out of his budget, I can take it out of my budget. That's fine. And then of course individual prop comp will not be happening, so we're going to save a little bit there. That's not huge dollars, but maybe a grand. So
yeah,
and that might be nice. That would be good.
Yeah.
So, and then we go down volunteer gifts, facility budgeted at $32,000 for the convention center, is that correct? Right.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And then what we're missing from here, right, is the theater cost.
Yep, Stevens Center, and I worked with Scott at the Stevens Center today, and on three nights. Richard, I need to talk to you about. Is Richard doing championships? Did you say?
Yeah. And we'll just need to tech time in advance, like we always do on that Wednesday and Thursday.
Right. Can you send me an email saying, how much tech time you need?
Well, part of the problem there, but I can guesstimate it, but it's the number of juniors we're actually going to end up with.
Right.
Number of seniors and teams we actually end up with, because they each get their 15 minutes of tech time. So we'll have it. I can estimate it for sure.
Yeah, if you could give me an estimate.
Yeah, the U Showcase usually goes before the tech time for juniors. They usually go in the morning on Wednesday, and then afternoon is juniors.
Okay.
But we'll figure that out.
Yeah.
But I don't see any way around saving too many hours on that, to tell you the truth.
Well, I was thinking about this today, and we may be able to save some time with the Youth Showcase tech rehearsal.
Right.
Because I think in the past they've been in there a good 3 hours or so, if not more.
I want to say it's usually at least 3 hours.
Yeah. And we have other space in the Benton Convention Center that could be used for run-through to kind of get the order in that together, figure out what they're doing for their finale and all, and then go over and do a tech run after they kind of have it all figured out.
Yeah, that makes total sense.
And I can work with Art on that.
I just need 15 minutes per competitor.
Okay.
And, of course, you know, there's a little lax in that. Some people take a little less, and sometimes because of language issues or other things, we go a little longer than 15 minutes. But that's what I try to adhere to, is 15 minutes per competitor.
Right, and that's not a problem. If you can kind of give me some sort of estimate, even if it's based on, like, last year's numbers.
Well, juniors last year was – I'm hoping we don't only have three performers. I'm hoping we have six.
Well, yeah.
So
even if you want to base it on six performers in each category, because it's better that we over-budget than under-budget.
Okay.
Yeah.
No problem.
And the contract will read that it's according to our actual usage. You know, the contract is just based on estimate.
Good. Right.
Yeah.
Kim, did the guy today mention any general prices? Like, you know, what are we looking at? $10,000? You know,
five grand? I did not get some sort of rough estimate out of him, because he said it really depends on how many hours were in there.
And
I tried finding the contract from the last time we were in Winston-Salem. I know I have a hard copy here in the house. I just have to dig it out.
Okay, that's fine. That no big deal. I mean, we know there's going to be, you know, several thousand dollars, you know, that we need to add to that expense line. So that's fine.
Matt, I have the settlement from 2009 at the Stevens Center for the whole week, which was, if I recall, three nights of shows.
Right.
And it was $17,000 total.
Actually, 2009 was four nights of shows. I did find that in my computer.
All right. So.
And the Cascade of Stars usually has the longest tech run.
Yeah, it's going to be a long tech.
Yep.
Yeah. All right, so I'm putting 17 in for now, just for jollies, and that's better than nothing. Food, 10,000. That's the contract with the convention center that will also we can cover by using, you know, renting things from it. It doesn't have to be just food, but on the other hand, if we have Renegade and we want to do, you know, throw some money that way, that can cover Renegade as well. Certainly, the food thing. There's several ways we could use that. So either way, we have to pay it, so we might as well get some value from it. We just got to decide how. Housing, that housing line, $1,500, you know, changes so radically from year to year, so I don't know if it was housing for Cascade of Stars guests or, you know, for different, you know, people who got comped their rooms or what have you. But we just put in $1,500 at that point. And I've got another line item for Cascade of Stars housing and things like that. And then jump down, boom, boom, boom. The question I had here was professional services. What does that refer to?
What does that refer to?
That is like we may need to hire a parliamentarian. We may need to hire a firefighter for fire night if you're going to have one, Matt. You may need to hire a graphic designer or a layout person for the program if you want to go that way. So it's various fees to people that do services for us.
Got it. Okay. So that's not bad.
Parliamentarian is already set up. We'll have the same person that we have the last two times in Winston-Salem.
Great. Jimmy Nichol?
Yep. Jimmy Nichol's coming back. $50.
We love her.
Yep.
And, I think I told you this too, Matt. The Convention Center Bureau is giving us a person basically to act as a cashier or however we need her. 4 hours a day for each day of the fest, free of charge.
Good stuff. That's good. All right, so we jump down, postage, printing, stuff like that. The fest, you know, printing and fest program, I just put it up in the 2000. And then Cascade of Stars, I put it at 20, but after I did my calculation today, it actually should be 16. So that's a $4,000 savings. And then contingency, another $3,000, to cover this, that, and the other. So you look at right now what I'm looking at, having just added the $17,000 for the theater, is a total expense of $104,000 with a total festival loss of $32,000.
I have one question, Matt.
Shoot.
Under festival expenses, under food, there's an expense of $10,000.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That is part of the contract.
It's required.
That is, okay.
Yeah.
Sorry,
I didn't sign that one, brother, but that's what it is.
And I tried to get us out of it. I tried to get it lowered, and the convention center came back and said, well, sure, we'll get rid of it for you, but we're going to raise your hotel prices.
Right.
So one way or another, they were getting that $10,000 out of us.
Okay.
As an overview, is it accurate to say that your model is kind of using 2009's fest for expenses, but 2010's fest for attendance? Is that vaguely right?
It jumps back and forth, honestly.
Yeah.
Depending line by line, you could look and say, okay, I use 2009's number, and or I use 2010's number. It's all over the place, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. It's kind of scary. It looks like, well, if we get 2010's attendance, then, yeah, we could lose a lot of money. And if we get 2009's attendance, we could actually make a decent chunk of money. And it could.
Yeah, well, 2009's attendance, what was it? I'm looking here. Where am I looking?
It looks like it was about 400.
Right.
Ballpark.
So I can change that number quite easy. I'm the trusty Excel. I mean, 400.
My opinion on the number is, I would rather estimate the attendance number low and have it be over than, estimate high and then end up in the hole big time.
I think you also need to come up with a budget, for starters, that's balanced.
Yeah.
I mean, he's showing a $34,000 loss. We can't afford that. Obviously, this is just an initial budget here, but to make it realistic, it looks to me like the COS travel, for instance, needs to be cut way back. I don't know what the plans are, but last year, for instance, we spent a lot on the COS, and that was, we didn't have the attendance to support it. We're not expecting a huge attendance, the draft 200 estimate attendance isn't very big, and so we can't afford to have $20,000. That's, that's a lot of money on each one of those people for the show, and we're charging them $20 or $30, and we're paying $100 for each person attending, just to bring in people. So in the past, that number has been has moved around a lot, but it used to be much lower, and I think it's gotten sort of out of hand. Definitely was too high last year.
Well, let me tell you what I've got. Let me tell you what I've got so far in terms of Cascade of Stars, and then you can make your own judgments. Pavel, coming from Moscow, excess baggage fee, $2,000. $360 food, that's a 60-day per diem for the time he's there. That's actually a little low. He gets the take from his workshop. He gets no honorarium from us. And we put him in one of the comped rooms. So bringing him is going to cost, you know, $23.25. Ryan Malors has agreed to come from the Ministry of Manipulation. 1,200 flight, Canada. Once again, 360 for food. You know, comp room again. I can put him with Pavel. So we're saving money that way. Sarah Simano from Mexico, probably 1,200 flight. I'm being pretty.
The flight's being like, covered for her.
Yeah, when you say the flight's being covered.
It's being covered by Anthony Shea's frequent flyer miles, so we do have to pay, I'm guessing, some kind of taxes and fees of
okay.
$100 to $200.
So, yeah, so maybe we just saved $1,000 right there.
Yeah.
Hotel for her, right? Got to get her hotel, food as well, per diem. So just those three people alone, you know, on my line, I've got about $6,000 into them.
Okay.
So the 16 can become six, and that saves us 10. We're still 22 in the hole.
Right.
And we've just gutted the Cascade of Stars. We got nobody.
Now, what you've got is people who are not going to get reimbursed for travel expenses, and you can get them. You can get them for the show. Every festival gets them for its show.
I would have to agree with that.
Could you explain that again, Martin? I'm not quite understanding what you're saying. Martin?
Yeah?
Can you re-explain what you just said? I didn't understand it.
I said, okay, you've got a few, let's say, superstars coming to the show, and you're going to pay travel and hotel for them, but you can get other performers to come without having to pay them a superstar amount.
And who would those be?
We've done that. I'm sorry?
Who would they be? Can you name them?
Who would they be?
Yeah, who would they be?
Well, I can't tell you that. I'm not booking them. But we've done it in the past. I mean, every festival gets people to come and perform, generally for free, at least some people. If we can't get anybody.
Once again, who? Tell me who. Who in the past?
I'm not the festival director. Let me say this again. If you're going to expect 200 people to come, and you're going to spend $20,000 on the Cascade of Stars show, just that show, you're paying $100 per attendee for that show. So the ticket prices for that show should be at least $100. Or should be around $100. You're not going to charge $100 for that show, so you're overbooking the performers for that show, if you ask me. And if you're going to have 500 people attend, you know, then you're only paying $40 or something for the show. But with 200 people, we can't afford $20,000 on one show.
Matt, there are two people who may be able to help with getting some quality entertainment.
Dan and I have been beating the bushes for 4 months. We got this is what we got.
Well, Steve Langley and Keith Nelson know an awful lot of performers and are in contact with them, and they helped me out immensely in Sparks with getting them in for practically nothing. So they may be able to help you out in that arena, you and Dan. So it's just a thought to throw out there. I don't know whether they can or not, but it's an idea.
And then I know, too, Matt, I think you talked about Doug Thayers.
Yeah, Doug's expressed interest. He doesn't know if he's going to be there.
Okay.
You know, same with Josh Horton.
Okay.
I got it. Everyone on the board, practice up a good routine. Be good. Problem solved. We got it.
I'll just be stage manager.
No. Sorry, Kim. You got to go on.
Also, I know in the past we've had people perform who won the championships, and they get to perform for Cascade of Stars, and that was one of the like honors was they got to perform their routine again.
Yeah, the first place team in juniors, teams, and seniors.
Yep. Yeah.
That's good. Good idea. Good thinking. Matt, I think we can plug in at least 300, given that this is the third year in that event. It's got a little more local motion and notoriety. I think even plugging in 300 is a low estimate for what.
Yeah, I do think 200 is planning low is good, but aiming for 300 as lowest would be good, I think.
I agree.
That's the number that popped into my head too.
Yeah,
at least
300. And I think we can totally do that.
So then we're in the hole. 15.
Right.
And that's getting rid of the 16,000 for cost gain on stars as well.
Getting rid of all of it?
We have to pay Pavel, right? Are we going to get rid of him?
Right. No. You just said getting rid of it, but you meant getting rid of the extra 10,000, right?
Right.
Okay.
What does postage seem high to me? Number 82. Line 82. What's the postage for? I there should be pretty minimal postage now that we don't have flyers going out, right, Kim?
It has been the past couple of years. It's been a little bit lower. It also depends on what you're sending out. Are we doing a flyer, being that there isn't a magazine this year? That was my question.
I would like to.
Even if it's just a postcard. To direct people where to go to register.
And make it have a cool image on the front. And, yeah, I think a postcard is good.
Yeah. So I think we can do that minimally, but I'm not sure how much that would run with the new postage rates.
I think number 70, I think 78 can come by down to about $300. Line 78. I remember the festivals I ran. I spent like $200 on office supplies on each festival. So,
Matt, there are a lot of office supplies that are stored at Steph Gardner Walsh's in Winston-Salem. So that would probably come down. The other thing that kind of hit me as being high, and I'm looking for it right now, is printing. And I can't find what line. There it is.
80.
Line 83. Again, I saved a lot of money and sparks by, first of all, doing the booklets entirely myself. I had a former student of mine who is now a graphic artist volunteer her time to do the graphic artwork that I needed. And the other thing was, had them print it at a place right in Sparks, and they delivered them to the door for free.
Yeah, I definitely want to go local as much as possible, yeah. And that even connects to the T-shirt designs. There's all kinds of things. Jeremiah Johnson, Ross Berenson, and Hannah Storr have agreed to all submit designs for the T-shirt and for the booklets, and they've agreed to do that gratis. So that's good. Taylor Glenn has agreed to edit the festival video for 1,000, which is, you know, a savings over the $8,500 we're paying Ivan. Who else? Who am I thinking? No, that's fine. I mean, I don't know, guys. I'm chopping it to the bone. We basically got everybody working for free. You know, nobody's getting a comp that I know of. At least I haven't promised any comps to anybody as of yet. Right? You know, my 9,000 as festival director is gone. You know, I got EAAO to agree to come for cost only. They wanted $6,000. I got them to do it for free, essentially.
Right.
Just for cost, just, you know, on the same level as anybody else.
And that would cost $10,000. Was that the extra?
Yeah, I mean, there's five of them. So, you know, the flights are going to be around $7,500 right there. We've got the suite for them, There's one suite just for them that's big enough. That's the same suite that RDL stayed in 2009. So cost, as far as housing, is no problem. You know, the per diem, that's going to cost you some money. So I added that all into the figures along with Malors and Pavel and Fair. And, you know, I came up with 16.
Matt, one thing to think about is if the 200 attendance figure is really true, then that means we wouldn't even come close to filling up the hotel block, which
right.
means we would be on the hook for all of the comp rooms, which you don't want to do.
Right.
So I think you have to assume that we would at least fill the Embassy Suites, which always sells out right away.
Right.
And figure out how many attendees that means. That probably means 250 attendees minimum right there.
My calculations are, right, according to the contract, right, we're committed to 475 room nights at $108 double for Marriott and 528 nights for Embassy Suites. That's a total of 1,003 nights total. Anything less than 80% of that 1,003 nights, and we're paying. 200 people
right.
would have to stay all five nights for us to meet that number.
Yes, but
80% of
the suites only has 114 rooms, as I recall, and they will triple and quadruple occupy those. So that's
right.
close to 300 people or more right there.
Exactly. That's what I was going to say. Like that. I don't think we're going to meet that contract.
Well, I think we will. I think we will. We'll easily sell out the Embassy Suites because it's such a screaming deal. And the Twin City Quarter, the management company, has been very liberal with allowing us to swing rooms from the Marriott over to the Embassy Suites to meet our block.
Mike, I think you're being a little optimistic on the basis of something that has nothing to do with whether people want to go to this festival or not. We've been in Winston-Salem twice before, and the attendance went down the second time substantially. And it went down every year since then, practically. So just because it's a good deal, just because we have a lot of performers or whatever, doesn't mean people are going to have the money and the time to be able to go to this festival. I'm not saying nobody's going to show, but you can't just assume people are going to show up because we've got beautiful rooms in the Embassy Suites. What is the minimum room block that we need to hit? Matt, you just mentioned something, but I didn't catch the numbers.
Well, 80% of 1,003 room nights total. So
basically, 800 room nights.
800 room nights, yes.
Okay. And there were 100 and something rooms in the Embassy Suites. So those can't possibly fill that. Even at seven nights each, which is, you know, probably we get about five nights average, I have to say, or something like that.
I have another question. At what point with the present budget, at how many participants do we go into the black here? Are we do we have a sense of that with present budget? I mean, if you plug in 400, are we still in the red? I think if so, then it's indicative that we really, really need to – unfortunately, cut even more, but that if around a semi-realistic number we are breaking into the black, then in at least part we can, you know, do our best to push attendance. So at what point with present budget do we go into the black?
Give me a second. I'm doing it right now.
Cool.
2 seconds.
And while Matt's working on
yeah,
that,
go ahead.
We have the historical pickups from the last 7 or 8 years. Winston-Salem 07 was 1,114. Winston-Salem 09 was 914. And Rochester's official pickup, even though we had lousy attendance, we still picked up 889 room nights citywide. And over 90% of those were at our two hotels. So we're still comfortably above 800 room night pickup, even as lousy as the attendance has been.
All right. So at 300, you know, and I kind of spread it out, you know, I tried to put more of it towards the adult early package at 199 and not assume that everybody's going to pay late, you know. So I just added small numbers for youth, early, youth, medium, youth at the fest, and added more numbers at adult early, and a little bit more at adult medium, and a teen bit more at adult at the festival kind of thing. And it came up with 300, which puts us at $93,710 total income gross profit, which now has us in the hole at 11,000. Or wait a minute, time out. I gotta tweak it.
So it's probably going to be about 350 to 375 people is the break-even point, somewhere in there.
Right, right.
Yeah, I mean, the sanity check I'm doing is, you know, we could spend all night figuring out if we can rent a copier for $300 instead of $700, but there's about five bullet items here, you know, five line items that are accounting for a good 80 to 90% of the budget.
Mm-hmm.
And so if we're well under and we think that our estimates of how many people are attending are accurate, the only way the budget balances is if we start finding ways to save on those five or so items, and a lot of them just can't move, right? So there's the facility, which is huge, and so part of the conclusion may be, well, if there really are only going to be 300 people there, then we're screwed having a facility that costs $32,000. The food is another big one, which basically is the facility, unless we can find ways to take some of these other line items and make them into food.
Yeah, pay for them with the food costs, which we might be able to do.
Right. There's the Cascade of Stars, there's the theater, and the awards. And those five things are the vast majority of the budget. We'd have to trim, like, everything else down to zero to break even if we didn't touch those five.
Or raise prices $10-$15.
Yeah. That's
a question. Did we take out of awards and prizes what we've put into the individual comp competition?
No, I didn't take that out yet.
No.
I mean, I can take it out, no problem. I can chop it from 7 to 6.
I didn't do that. It's a small dent. I don't know the exact math, but with three places in six categories, I think we gave out a decent little amount.
This is Marilyn. I have a related question. Not the budget, if you don't mind. You were talking earlier about sending a postcard to let everybody know and, you know, say, hey, here's our festival plans, right? But without the magazine, how are they going to get a mail-in ballot and their access code?
For the election. Matt, maybe that's not a question for you, but for Martin.
How are we going to handle that this year?
I don't know why we're discussing that in the middle of the festival.
Well, it's related. I mean, it's at the festival, and so. And I've mentioned it before, and no one followed up on it. And without the magazine, how are we going to get them a? But what I was saying was going to suggest is we could incorporate it with the notification about our festival,
yeah.
And also say they don't get an access code either, and so we need to figure out a way to get them that as well.
Okay.
I posted this on the board plus forum. That's a bright place to discuss this.
All right.
But we do have to make a decision on that very, very soon because we need, if we are sending something out, we need print time and mail time. If we're doing it in a different way, we need time to get that set up as well.
Well, the reminder cards go out via the USPS service called Click to Mail, and Click to Mail can also do letters rather than just postcards.
Okay.
So we would need to write the letter, that's all.
Okay.
We also have the availability of email for 80% of the members.
Yeah, but see, the write-in voters, I mean, the ones that mail in the mail-in ballots are probably the ones that don't have email. Yeah. All right, I guess I'll post it on the forum then.
Yeah, and we'll make sure that we all need to chime in on that one and kind of tap our brains a little bit and figure out how we can best do that.
Okay,
So, guys, that's where I'm at with the budget. And, you know, like Pavel can't get his visa from Moscow until he has proof of a plane ticket. I've already got the letters written to the embassy, but he needs proof of purchase. So I need to at least buy him a ticket. Where is that money?
Well, Holly and John and I have discussed that. John, I think you were part of that discussion, correct?
Yeah. Hold on. Please stop.
I can't hear anybody. The things are cutting out or something. Is it me?
You're
it
cutting
me,
out,
or?
John. No, John, you're cutting out.
Okay, sorry. I've seen Holly's cash projections, but again, I'm probably the least knowledgeable when it comes to the detail behind that. So I'm relying on the numbers that she's giving us at the moment.
Yeah, and I'm just going back at my emails from Holly here about that. What was it? Oh, that's where it is. She had suggested that we can go ahead and get Pavel's ticket. So, Matt, let me get her in touch with you. Because we did discuss this. I'm just having trouble finding the email because we've been going back and forth about this. But she assured me that we can get Pavel's ticket so that we can get him squared away and advertised on the website and, you know, do what you need to do to get his visas.
Okay. What about Ryan Malore's?
I wasn't sure about, so... If you said
you didn't even know about it. I'm just saying, like,
no.
You know, even if we get rid of the EAO expense, we're still in the hole for the festival, and we're going to have no stars? We have nobody?
No, we can get Ryan, but I would think that we could wait till festival stuff starts coming in for him, do you think? Till income starts coming in?
Yeah, it might also be possible to see, like, look into flights from Bellingham, Washington for him, too. Because Vancouver and Bellingham are about, like, 15 miles apart or something like that. And flights are generally much cheaper flying, you know, domestically than internationally.
Yeah, I mean, as far as the flights goes, once I know there's money, I'll find the cheapest flight I can find.
Yeah, sure.
But I'm not going to put it on my credit card, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, totally. Just thinking out loud there.
Do we know when registration's starting yet? Because that would be a good date to start publicizing.
Well, if we agree to the price structure such as we have right now with the $199, $239, $259, as quick as we can get it online. Martin, are you the guy to do that?
I don't know. What are you talking about?
Online registration.
I think that would be David Landown.
David told me that he wasn't the guy to do that.
Oh, okay.
No, he's not.
Okay.
That would nominally be Kevin Macbeth, the store manager, but I am prepared to help with that. But Kevin doesn't seem to have a lot of time.
Say again?
Yes, I can help with that.
Okay.
What
yeah, because
target?
This is... Target date, January 30th.
Do you want to say January 30th or, mid-February?
Is that February 1st? Yeah, I mean, the sooner the better, obviously. I'm unaware of how much it entails in terms of work. I mean, do we have the template from previous years and we're just adding, you know, changing information or?
Matt, did you get the 2011 templates I sent you of red forms and info and stuff?
Exactly. And the only thing that we would change as far as online registration or the registration, the paper registration, would be adding a line item for people to register for Jogway.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's something that Len Furman asked for. It doesn't seem like a big deal.
Our online registration was last done 2 years ago.
I'm sorry?
We used Rochester. Rochester did our registration last year. So we'd be using it from 2 years ago. And there'd be some changes. It's always a moderate amount of work to get that set up. Day or two's worth of work.
Okay. So do you think...
8 hours a day.
Yeah, well, yeah, I want to be respectful of your time and of Kevin McBeth's time. So if we say to, if I tell you tonight, okay, go with it, when can you do it?
I would say shoot for February 15th. One thing is, before we, you know, go live, you have to have pretty much all of the, you know, certainly the main guests. I won't say all the guests. You want your primary guests lined up and signed, because we don't want to advertise them before we go live. I mean, we don't want to go live with registration before we have a list of performers, guests, and we don't want to have a list of guests before we have them signed.
Well,
we can't sign any guests because we have no money.
Right. And in Spark, the only person that I advertised was Chris Cremo, and I signed on other people as we got money in the coffers to pay for them and added them on.
I think if we got Pavel's thing and started publicizing mm-hmm. with that for initial registration, and then as we get money, we can bring in the other guests and announce those as we keep going and pushing for people to register more.
Yep.
Okay, I mean, the schedule needs to be more or less ready. The the website needs to be ready in addition to registration. There's two parts to that. There's the informational site, and there's the registration site. So those are the two aspects of the web for the festival.
So on that website, we'd want to publicize that Pavel's teaching the special workshop, correct? So we'd want that publicized.
Right.
The schedule, potentially, and... You can get a bio and photo up of Pavel and Fair, just because she is coming for sure.
I mean, having just Pavel is fine if that's all we can confirm at this point. Or if there are other people that we can confirm because we don't have to pay them big sums, that's fine too. We need somebody to list before we go live, I think. So what's the expectation for Pavel's ticket and visa and that stuff?
We're getting his ticket.
Yeah, we need to get...
Go ahead, Matt.
Go ahead, Martin. Go ahead.
No, I was just asking when... You were talking earlier about having that authorized, and Holly said we had some money for it. So what are we talking about as far as the date for that confirmation is? Buying the ticket and his agreeing to be here.
He's already agreed. He's just waiting for me to send him proof of purchase and the letter so that he can apply for his visa. So,
Is there any question about his being able to get a visa?
No. No problems.
Matt, I believe we can get his ticket within the next 2 weeks. Okay?
You know what I mean?
I did find the email from Holly. She has it worked out that we can... get the money for his ticket. So, and I do have an IJA debit card, so as soon as she can move some things around, we can get his ticket.
So could we plan for registration for mid-February? I like that idea because then that gives us time to promote it as the go-live, as well as to get everything up on the website and get the ticket booked.
What was that, February 15th, Aaron?
February 15th?
Yeah.
And
if it
happens sooner, that's fine.
Yeah. So I think, saying February 15th. And then, Matt, I'm guessing you'll schedule just the days whenever for when the prices will raise.
Yeah, that's, I mean, we just try and keep it even. So, you get...
Right.
You got 90 days to get the cheap price. You get 90 days or close to that to get the mid price, and then after that, it's just full.
Right.
So Matt, when you have all the prices and so forth, send that stuff to me.
Do you want just the prices, or would you like all the information that needs to go on the website as well?
So all of the information.
Okay, you want it all? Okay. I can get you that, you know, in the next week.
Okay.
You know, it will be missing, of course, you know, some information about guests because we don't have
yeah.
that many. So
of course, whatever you got.
But as far as time, daily timelines, costs, events, where the event will be held, like I think I can pretty much get it all. I mean, Len's pretty much locked in. He can, you know, with his track, what track he's going to have his thing at. We're going to finalize the theater, convention center. That it's pretty centralized as far as what facilities we're using and where we're going to be. That's all pretty much a done deal.
Okay, that's good. That's enough.
Okay, then I'll get you that stuff next week. I'm trying to think. Okay, that's it. The last thing I wanted to ask is to just confirm, is everybody okay with joggling on Tuesday?
I love it.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay, that's fine. I wanted to make sure that Len feels like he's getting our best efforts. But I just can't see joggling on Saturday when everybody's wiped out, so that's that. And if anybody needs to contact me in the next week or two, you know, I'll be around certainly next week, but then on the 27th I leave for New Zealand. So I'll be gone, you know, kind of be out of the loop to some degree on that level. That's why I want to get everything done before I split.
Okay. Matt,
does that mean you won't email?
I'm sorry?
Does that mean you'll be out of email reach?
You know, I don't know. I'm betting no. I'll be in Auckland. Auckland's a pretty modern city, but I don't know what the facilities are going to be like at the festival I'm going to be at, so I'm not sure.
And when will you be back?
February 7th.
Well, I certainly wouldn't try to go live while you're in Auckland.
So we're doing it the 15th, so it shouldn't be.
Yeah, that shouldn't be a problem.
Problem.
Matt, just
yeah,
to confirm with you, show nights are Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, correct?
Unless anybody sees a reason why they shouldn't be there.
I'm fine.
I think that's
fine.
You know, they've been that way before. They've been split. You know, there's been, you know, they've been on all nights. You know.
Yeah. I just wanted to make sure, so when I talk to Scott again, I can confirm those
yeah.
specific days.
Yeah, basically. When you talk to him, you know, Wednesday, we're going to, you know, Wednesday probably all day, or not all day, but certainly a good chunk of the day. Thursday will be almost all day, and Friday will be probably, well, depending on the Cascade of Stars cast, will be most of the day. So, you know, start it, you know, can we get them all, what's the cost for all day, for all 3 days, you know, and then we start chopping it down. Okay, we only need it for 6 hours, we only need it for 2 hours.
So here's a question. Right. You got a $10,000 minimum food charge, and we're not selling anything. We're not selling any food. So how is that money going to be spent?
It's a good question.
Well, the other
thing we can sell a dinner or ice cream or whatever, and that's $50. If it's 200 people, that's $50 a person. So it's a fair amount of money. We don't necessarily have to make it all back, but it certainly we don't want to just throw it all away. So we might as well try to do something with that.
Well, and I'm sure we will. The food and beverage minimum is not just food and beverage. It also includes any audiovisual. So let's say we want two big screen TVs like we had for the lounge last year. Maybe when we're
for
this year.
But it doesn't include anything for the theater, right? We can't get theater.
The theater is a separate facility.
Separate, totally separate contracts.
Okay.
Okay,
well,
but I mean, I don't imagine we're going to spend $10,000 on audio video. I hope not. At any rate, so I mean, this affects the schedule. If you need to put in, you know, an ice cream social that we sell for $10 and we get them $50 worth of ice cream or whatever. I mean,
it affects the schedule, whether you have a dinner here or a brunch or whatever. So I think it's important to think about what that $10,000 is going to be spent for. If it's, you know, $1,000 or $2,000 for audiovisual, okay, but there's still going to be some money there for food, right?
Right.
You're not expecting to spend the whole thing on non-food.
Right.
Well,
go ahead.
No, you go ahead. You know more about it than I do.
All I was going to say was you have Saturday night open now. You have the mornings where you can have other stuff out for the jugglers. So there are ways to use it effectively. It won't go to waste.
Is there?
I mean, you know, we could use it for green room. We can use it for green room food, I suppose, but that's still, you know, we can't use very much of it for that. Maybe we could use a third of it for that. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of things we can use it for, and then whatever's
Renegade
left.
Renegade going to be? Sorry. What?
Renegade. Renegade is, we're holding it between two locations. We're trying to figure out if we want to do it off-site at a bar. There's a bar that's expressed interest. We don't necessarily want to go back to the previous location that we had it the last two times because they're kind of a hassle to work with, and their fees are a bit, you know, we just can't afford it.
Right.
So if we can get it free at a bar, kind of like Sparks in 2010, that would be great. If we can get it, if we can do it inside the convention center in a similar place like what we did, you know, in the convention center, right, there's the gym, and then next door you've got that elevated stage that's set up for, like, Kendama Open and prop comps
right.
were held there in previous night. I mean, there's no reason why we couldn't necessarily do that.
Because if we did that, we could do food and beverage for the Renegade show sold through as part of that $10,000 is what I was thinking.
But. Yeah, it's possible. So that's something I want to talk to Keith Nelson about, and Mark Hayward and Slam and Andy are my Renegade guys, so I want to talk to them and see what their thoughts are. Yeah. All right, that's my report at this point.
Okay, Matt. Thank you very much.
Thanks, guys.
Again, if you need any help, you just let us know. Okay.
I could use some money out of our expense budget or out of the fund. That's you ask me what I want. That's what I want.
Yep.
I want the fund money.
And that's the thing. You could use some of the fund money, if the committee wishes, to bring in a performer or something. That was one of the things that was said. It can be used.
We did it last year.
Yeah, so, you know, that's up to the committee. Future Fest, Mike, anything there?
Yeah, 2013 Fest is confirmed for July 15th to 21st at Bowling Green State University in Bowling Green, Ohio. Between the college being on holiday break and their person being busy and me being busy, we haven't finished the tweaks to the contract yet, but we had a nice conference call today, and everything is agreed to. So as soon as he has time to sit down and rewrite the contract with all the changes that we've talked about, I'll have that ready to send to the board for signing. Everything looks good for 2013, and they're very excited to have us. As a matter of fact, at their expense, they're going to send 5 people on a scouting team from Bowling Green State to our festival in Winston-Salem just to get a feel for what our fest is like. So I was glad to hear that, and it should be fun to have them there and see what we do so they can be ready for us in 2013. For 2014, we have a few good options, but I'm having trouble finding any place on the West Coast that's even remotely realistic on pricing. There's a couple large universities that I haven't heard back from yet that I'm trying to see if we can work with. But right now, I'm not optimistic that any West Coast college or university is going to work for us. There's another outfit that can help us reach out to places that we haven't been able to hear from yet. I'm going to try and work with them and see if we can find something, but so far it's not looking good for West Coast college venues. I'm going to Knoxville, Tennessee next week on a site visit. They're very excited with the prospect of having us. That's another city that lies along I-75. It's a university town, and their downtown is adjacent to University of Tennessee campus. So they have a lot of the amenities that we're looking for, and they think they can be a good option for us with a lot of affordability. And we'll see what it looks like when we get there. But they've been pushing us for about 2 years to come and look, and I've gotten them to sweeten their offer a little bit. Now I'm going to go and see what it's all about so we can really start negotiating if it does look good. I should also report that for 2015, we have received a written offer from Rochester to return. It's too early for us to start worrying about 2015 yet, but I would note that by the time we have to make a decision or need to start working on a decision for 2015, Rochester may have made a expansion to the Mayo Civic Center with a new add-on portion that would be better suited for our festival. They're waiting for the governor's signature on a bond package that would give them $35 million for a new expansion to the Civic Center. And if that goes through, which is a big if, the new part of the Civic Center they would build would be the part that we would want to use more than we did in the exhibit hall last time. So that's a offer for 2015 that we have on the shelf that we can look at when time comes around for that. But right now, of course, my focus is trying to find some good options for 2014 and get those brought up to the board for consideration in the next 6 months or so. So that's my Future Fest report for right now, Kim.
Okay. Thank you, Mike. Are there any questions of Mike?
No, just a thought that, you know, I'm sure you already are, but keeping in mind this trend of decreasing attendance and this budget thing that we were just discussing indicates the need for the type of venues that aren't going to want big contracts and hotels that aren't going to, you know, just keep in mind these types of numbers and what it's doing to our budget. As pointed out by Dave, the model of a convention center is not ultimately working for us unless things change. I think that's a fair statement.
Right. Okay. If there's nothing else from Mike, we'll move on to financial. John, do you have anything to report on for financial at this point?
Well, the only thing I guess is that Holly did put together a tentative budget for the general fund. And then after she put that out, we received the email from, was it the fellow who's doing the e-zine?
E-zine, yeah.
Todd Seltzer.
Yeah, that the amount of money that was in the budget for the e-zine was not enough.
Yeah, that's definitely true.
Yeah, that was the first thing I noticed as
yeah.
well.
Yeah, she had put in $1,200 when I guess the agreement is $750 per month.
Yeah.
Yes.
And that would be $9,000 per year. So that would have to be changed in that tentative budget. So I guess maybe the thing is on this tentative budget, which I assume you all have a copy of, that maybe we look it over a bit more until the next meeting, and if anyone has any other thoughts on other things that might be missing or might be needed to be added, that let us know, and then we could revise the budget and then give it to you at the next meeting for approval.
Right, and I actually put that on as a motion for tonight. However, it was going to be my suggestion that we table it so we all have time to make comment.
Right, yeah.
Okay.
And Matt, it might be good if you sent out the revised numbers that you have for the festival budget now, so that we could look at those.
Matt, are you still here? Okay, I'll send him an email to let him know. Okay, in case he has left the call. Okay. Any questions for John? John's new to the job, so.
I think one thing I was wondering is what communications were on the budget. Communications?
Well, I'm thinking, again, I still don't have access to a lot of the detail, but I'm thinking that the communications are like these phone calls.
Yes.
Okay.
The conference calls.
Okay. Cool.
And that is one place where we're not going to save a ton of money, but the more discussion we do on the forums or even through email before we get to a meeting, you know, reports being sent, the less time the meetings will actually take, so we can save on the phone calls a bit. That's why it's important to be in contact with one another in between meetings, so we can keep up on things. It does save us a you know, a few pennies, which at this point matter.
Yeah. I think the information also includes the website.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. Any other questions about the financial? If not, thank you, John.
Okay.
And you're welcome to stay on the call by all means.
Okay. I actually have something I need to get to it
okay.
in a little bit, so I will sign off now then.
Okay. Thank you very much, John.
Okay.
I'll be in
touch.
Thank
you, John.
All right.
All right. Mm-hmm. Bye.
Website team. Mike, Aaron, anything on that front?
Okay, Kim. I'm wondering what we're waiting for because we thought that the requirements were going to be posted on the public-facing side of the website for comment, and I don't think anything's happened there.
Well, the board was supposed to discuss first,
and
I haven't seen any discussion going on. So do we have our revised copy? Is everybody happy with the copy that's there as far as the requirements?
I think we had some email discussion.
Mm-hmm.
I know there was some concern expressed, and I think you were going to talk to Joyce Howard
about, just to get her input, which I have not heard back from her. I should see if she's on Facebook now.
That was the last I'd heard.
Yeah. But from what I could remember, it wasn't even many of us that were responding. So, again, it's just something we have to get on top of.
Well, the last I saw was on January 3rd when you posted on the board forum, Kim, that you were waiting for Aaron or someone to re-edit or re-digest the requirements before they were posted. And
great.
Not much. I don't think anything has happened since then, and I'm just wondering what we're waiting for.
Well, I know Aaron and others had said that they thought it was a cumbersome document, so they wanted a chance to do that. I said I would contact Joyce to get her input on it as well. I know one person that I did send the requirements to has already said, nope, not interested. The bottom line is, are we happy with what we want to send out? If we are, it can go out tomorrow. It can be posted publicly tomorrow.
I guess I think we're still waiting to hear from more board members because that's been one thing.
Yeah. We need feedback, and I know we're all busy, but we need the feedback, and we need to get moving.
What is this in regards to sending out what? I'm in the dark about this.
It's a needs assessment that was done as far as the website reconstruction.
Okay, we need this needs assessment for website construction?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
What we were waiting for was someone's go-ahead to post the requirements document on juggle.org for members to look at. so that we could not be accused of operating in secrecy.
Right. And offer it up for bids, yeah.
Yeah, I'm all for that, but we should do something. I posted my last message on this on the 13th of December, and we're now at the 18th of January, and really nothing has changed.
Well, let's do this, if the rest of the board is okay with it. Let's just go ahead and post it as it is right now. Let discussion go in the public forum, and
yeah.
Then we can move forward that way. Who knows? Someone in the public forum may have some great ideas that can help us to, I don't want to say condense, but to make it a more accurate document for us.
Well, I think what we're looking for is not for someone to edit the document, but for someone to say, you guys are crazy, or what are you doing spending this money? We just want comments, feedback from the membership, so that the IJA can't be accused of doing everything in secret.
Right. That's fine.
Feedback, and also it's offering it up as a bidding process. I know that's what we were getting
yes.
towards, but we wanted to make sure that this is what we wanted to have being bid on.
Yes.
And I know
that's
there's
right.
been concern expressed by several board members of if it's if the document is a little excessive, and I know we've talked about this before, Mike, but also I mean if it is, nobody has the time to change it at this time. So I figure that being the case, we need
well,
to
you know, I'd rather err on the side of being too comprehensive than on being light on detail on what we're looking for. So if that's the if that's the fault that these documents have, then that's the better problem to have.
Okay, then they will be posted. I don't know if I'll get them on tonight, but they will definitely be on first thing tomorrow morning.
And so it's that we're asking for bidders? Is that how we're presenting it? Because that's
those are very different things. If the idea is
yeah.
just to get feedback, then sure, post it. I have no problem with that. The dilemma, which I was discussing in email, is that if the goal is to get bids, my dilemma to bring Mike into the loop is I really don't like the document at all, but I appreciate that it's going to take a lot of work to get a different version of it, and I don't know who would do that work or when. I think the document is really cumbersome, and I think it lists a lot of things that as requirements that we don't necessarily require. And I appreciate what you're saying about what's better to be inclusive, but after a point, that's not true. After a point, it's gratuitous or wasteful, and I don't want to do that.
Well, in fact, I don't think we're looking for the members to bid, because unless they're in this business of providing off-the-shelf AMS software, they wouldn't be qualified.
Right. So if all we think we're doing at this point is trying to give the members visibility into what's happened so far and get their feedback, then this becomes much easier. Sure, post
right.
See what they say.
I think that's where we're at.
Given the volume on juggle.org, the odds are likely that nobody will post anyway. But
right.
yeah, put it up there, because I don't have any problem with that. It's once we are looking for bids that it gets trickier.
Right.
Yeah, and that's the next step, essentially. If there is no discussion, it's going to be going to the bidding process, and that's, I think, where there is hesitation on my part, and as well as on Dave's part. But yeah,
and I'm hesitant on that as well. But we do need to keep this project
right.
moving forward. So I would think that by the next meeting, if we all kind of keep on top of whatever feedback is coming in, that maybe by our next board meeting, we should be able to say, okay, we're ready to put out for bid. Does not mean that we need to accept any of the bids. It just means we're ready to take a look at what people have to offer us.
Yeah.
And kind of a timeline.
Totally. No, I think that's great. Yeah, it's just, yeah, I don't know. If the document's not what we're looking, yeah, okay, let's go with discussion. That sounds perfect.
Yeah. Let's do discussion online. And, you know, from that discussion, we may be able to hone the document into what we're all happy with. You know what I'm trying to say?
Yeah.
I'm not being very clear. Sorry. Let's work on feedback first, and then we'll revisit it at our next meeting and go on from there, decide what we need to do. Okay? Because we just need to keep it forward.
Yeah.
So look for it on the forums by tomorrow morning at the latest. Okay, any other questions about website team? If not, membership numbers?
Marilyn left yep. the room, but she sent her report to him. And,
yep. I sent it as part of the agenda, so okay. I believe everyone has it. Education, Kevin and Aaron, anything on that front?
Nothing much new right now. Yeah.
Okay. Yep. Just going along. Tom, marketing and promotions, anything new?
Yeah, actually, I've had a pretty busy week, busy month. first thing that I've done this month, I met up with Reg Bacon. Some of you guys are familiar with Reg from working with him in the Archives Project in 2008, the four-day trip. Sandy, you're still here, right?
Yeah.
So I had the pleasure of meeting him out here in Brattleboro, Vermont. We had a really small juggling festival before Turbo, and he came up for that. I've been talking with him on and off for, I guess, the past 2 months or 2 or 3 months, because I wrote a grant proposal basically about a continuation of the Archives Project for one of the classes that I took for the master's degree that I'm working on. And, I showed it to him, and we sort of tooled around with some of it, and he told me more of the specifics about, you know, what he would want to see in this project, as the proposal is written. So I am slowly getting to the point where I'm going to start researching potential granting foundations for that. So that's something that I'm working on. You know, who knows if it'll actually pan through, but I met with him. And I think it's a pretty strong proposal. My professors seem to think so, at least. So that's the thing. Another thing is the video tutorial contest. This is going to be the third year of that. I'm pretty excited with the way that some of these things are coming together. You'll know that, or at least I hope you'll know that I'm changing, or we have changed the rules just for the way that I guess things are going to be evaluated. The years past, there's been, a couple of the people that won, they won according to the rules of the contest, but in a lot of people's opinions, you know, that I've heard in emails and threads on forums and stuff, they weren't necessarily the best. We have a judging panel, and I have the panel, I would say 99% complete. I got the last confirmation that I was really holding out for today. So the judging panel for this year's tutorial contest is as follows. Santiago Malabari, the guy from, I think he's from Mexico, is that right, Aaron?
Yep.
Yeah, he's a pretty incredible contact juggler and toss juggler, and he's super jazzed to be with us. So he's from Mexico. Team Rootberry is going to be acting as a judge, which is great because they've got 30,000 YouTube subscribers, and they're cool dudes who want to be, I guess, re-involved with VIJ now. After a bit of a hiatus. Robin Chestnut, guy from Canada, who is a juggling instructor, and I think he's a sports psychologist as well. Steve Hogan, he's a guy that owns the Juggling Tricks YouTube channel. He's got a ton of subscribers and is on every single juggling-related forum out there, so he's a pretty good resource to get up on board. Steve Ragas from Cirque du Soleil and Birdhouse Factory, I believe that's who he's with right now, but he's on the panel. Juggling TV from Britain, they're on board, and so is Little Paul, Paul Seward. I got
a little bit.
Yay.
So I got a confirmation from Little Paul today. So that's super great news. So that's 7 feet that have been built. I was talking to the executive director of
who get my ass kicked and then come back.
Matt.
Circus team.
Come back.
Hang on a second. Matt, is that you?
This is more Josh's thing. Than
thanks for
it. Hello.
Oh, no problem. I'll try and get the
Hey, guys, I have to go to circus practice.
Go ahead.
Do you want me to read this or no?
Sorry.
You can read it.
Oh, goodness.
Matt. You're coming through the call, Matt.
I'm right.
Okay. Let's keep going. Matt's not hearing us.
No, you have to tell me
how. Oh, you're still on the call.
Thanks, Lisa. Hi, Lisa.
Hi, Lisa.
Oh, there you go.
Okay.
Okay, cool. So basically we have 7 judges confirmed. I'm still waiting to hear back from a couple of people. One of those people is the executive director from Circus Team up in Chicago. I sent her a message, and we sort of had some vague communications. I think she'd be really great to have on board, just to have a social circus aspect. And also have a female on the judging committee. I think that's
important.
But we'll see what happens there. My intention is to act as a tie-breaking vote if it comes to that. Otherwise, I'm just going to kind of help orchestrate things and not be involved directly with the voting process other than, you know, helping people figure out how a ranked pair voting system works. So basically, they'll all give me like a 1 through 10, and that's probably more detail than we really need, but at least for the purposes of this meeting. But suffice to say that the judging panel has been pretty much set. I've sent out a lot of sponsorship emails to companies. I don't have a lot of specifics yet, but Play Juggling out of Italy has agreed to sponsor us again, which is great. Last year, I think they donated around $1,500 worth of stuff in terms of, you know, MSRP. Duncan Yo-Yos and Spin Tops, they've agreed to do it again. Last year, they were also very generous. So that's great. Sport Juggling Company has also agreed, and so is Brontosaurus Balls. I believe, Norwich, Christian Vonvik's Russian company, he has indicated interest, and I've sent out, looking at my list here, probably 20 or 30 other solicitation emails. So hopefully I'll start hearing back from people soon. So it looks like that's good, but it's certainly not somewhere where I feel comfortable announcing any kind of prizes. But I should be putting together information about the rule changes in the judges, you know, biographies and, you know, pretty photos and stuff to the evening sometime this month. So it'll be good. The tentative start date for this, at least my tentative final launch date, is March 1st. And so the contest submission period will run just the month of March. The voting will start on April 1st for the judges. So that's that part, I guess. Does anyone have any questions about just the tutorial contest as it stands or my meeting with Reg at Archives?
No.
Cool. So the other thing that I wanted to talk to you guys about was the sending out the prizes has the potential of being kind of expensive to us. In all of my all the emails that I send out and all my conversations that I have with the vendors, I ask them to consider sending the prizes out to the final winner on their own, which is very feasible for some companies and not quite so feasible for others. Like when you talk to Play or you talk to Duncan, you know, we're asking them to ship, I guess Play especially, we're asking them to ship internationally just to one place instead of to 10 places, if that makes sense. Play, last year at least, they donated to all 10 of the winners. So that's 10 different addresses. And if they were shipped to each place, that turns into a large actual cost instead of just an in-kind donation. That was kind of a circuitous way to put it. But basically, they prefer to ship to one place, which will be me, and I will distribute those prizes to the final winners. But if all of the winners, you know, or like in Siberia or somewhere, that's 10 packages from Brattleboro, Vermont that have to go out to Siberia that would be an expense that the IJ would incur. So I would like to have some kind of a small fundraiser for the video tutorial contest by itself. So all the donations from this would be, you know, earmarked basically for shipping and for whatever other costs that the contest incurs. Incurs over the course of its operation. And I've been doing some reading, and I've been taking some classes about, you know, fundraising and things for the, you know, through Drexel. And I don't have the statistic offhand, but basically if you have a fundraiser where there's some kind of premium involved, basically, you know, some kind of trinket or some small something that they get in response for a donation, it's not something that you're buying, but it's legally there's some phrasing behind it, but basically it's called a premium. It's an astronomical number, or percent increase of not only the amount of donations, like the dollar amount, but also the number of first-time donors. So I would like to have a short run of IJ logo like bumper stickers printed, like 3.5-inch circular single-color prints. There's a company that can do that for $52, make 250 of those. They're nice vinyl, you know, professional-looking stickers. Envelopes to send these, you know, it's $31 for 1,000 of those. It's just the number that I pulled from Staples. Basically, it looks like we could do this entire thing and have it pay for itself for under $120. That would be $83 for the physical overhead plus $21 to cover cost of shipping them, assuming that everybody that buys them is international. That's the total maximum cost for shipping. So we'd have to sell find donations of $5 or more from 26 people in order to cover the initial cost hurdle, I guess, is what you'd call it. I'm not sure. But basically, after 26 sales at $5 or more per, this would be a completely self-contained thing, and it would start generating income that I could use towards the shipping of the prizes that we have to do later on in April. So that's a motion I'd like to make. I think that's in the agenda for later on. I don't know what you guys think about that, but I think it has the potential of making us a lot of money for something that could possibly be much more expensive later on. And when I say a lot, you know, I mean, it might make us $500, but that's enough to cover the cost, especially if it's, you know, spun the right way, but I'll take care of it.
I have a couple of comments, and I said this before. For World Juggling Day, we always required the vendors who made donated prizes to send their prizes directly to the winners, and
right.
we never had any complaints at all. Now,
Play Juggling in Italy has never sponsored World Juggling Day, so far as I'm aware.
No, I understand. I understand that. And if you have a non-U.S. sponsor, and you know, and we have, let's say, half the winners are in the U.S., then half of their shipping would be to the U.S. overseas. Well, and in general, it would be, you know, more expensive. But the other issue is that if you have them shipping it to one place, you're basically doubling the cost of shipping because now it has to be shipped twice.
I recognize that, yeah.
Yeah, which is unfortunate. Now, if on the other hand, somehow, you know, we could coordinate the shipping so that, you know, I don't know, we provided, you know, if instead of having somebody ship it to you or whoever's going to reship it, we can just pay some money to somebody and have them ship it once, you know, that at least avoids some of the excess cost of shipping it twice. And now, of course, if they're shipping everything in one bag, one box, and rather than 10 boxes, there's still some cost because it has to go to 10 people. At any rate, that's just a thought. We discussed, when I was on the board 10 years ago, we discussed the issue of premiums for donations. And although I was in favor of it, the board didn't go that direction. And I guess partly because they thought that, you know, people wouldn't really donate that much more. I know, you know, all the PBS fund drives I see have premiums.
Right.
On the other hand, I'm not sure a bumper sticker premium, if that's what you're talking about, is much of a premium.
Yeah, I mean, it's more than we've ever done, and I think this is pretty
I don't look at a bumper sticker is an advertisement for us.
Yeah.
And you know, it's an acknowledgement that someone likes to support juggling, but,
exactly.
You know, a DVD of a festival video or something is much more of a premium. And, of course, costs us more. And it's too bad that we don't have our big stocks of DVDs because we could use those.
I sent Kevin an email, Kevin McBeth, an email asking about what we have, I guess, an excess of in the store, things that we could possibly use either as a price of this contest or you know, even possibly as a premium. And we could make it a threshold thing, so if people donate $5, they'd get the sticker. If they donated, you know, $25, they'd get or $100 or something, you know, they'd get a DVD in there too or something else. I mean, that's a possible avenue. I'm just saying, when you look at the statistics, like, there are a lot of academic studies out there that indicate that it's something, man, I wish I could pull this up. I don't have it in front of me, but it's something to the tune of like a 150% increase in donations when you have a premium. And this is something that would pay for itself after, you know, $120 in. I mean, I would put some money towards that. You know, I would buy one for some amount of money, and, you know, that's something there. I mean, my main fear is that the shipping thing is going to wind up costing a lot more. And a lot of the donors are either unable or unwilling to send things to the end recipients. It's more hassle on their end. Whether or not that is what your experience would be if you were a vendor, I don't know, but that is what they're reporting to me. And it is their participation which turns this into an event that gives the IJ any publicity at all. So the ball is kind of in their court. You know, they're the ones that are deciding the rules of this in a lot of ways. And, I mean, that's just kind of the way I see it. So.
And shipping costs have gone up the past couple of years.
Yeah, absolutely. That's one
tremendously
of the
by leaps and bounds. So
sure.
Even those vendors who shipped happily for World Juggling Day 2 and 3 years ago are now finding it a little bit tight.
Yeah, exactly.
To be doing that. So I understand where they're coming from.
Right.
Hey, Tom.
Yeah.
So, Dave, I would say that, I mean, what you're proposing with the stickers, I don't really have any problem with it just because the risk is relatively low. Right.
Right.
If your overall cost is $125 in the scope of things, even if nobody donates, that isn't going to kill us. And it's an interesting experiment because if we get surprised, it could actually make a decent hunk of money.
Yeah.
On top of that, I think, yeah, it's worth kind of getting creative to see if somebody like Play, if we said, well, what if anybody who happens to win in Europe, could you ship to them directly, and anything in the U.S., just ship it all to us? As kind
yeah,
of
right.
Around. Because the Europe ones are, you know, anywhere else in the world, those are the ones that are going to kill us.
Yeah, totally.
So.
Okay, so anything else, Tom? I did add that motion in. At least
okay.
On my copy, so I'm ready for that.
One last tiny little thing, I guess. I was doing some reading today, and I found out YouTube actually has something. It's YouTube Nonprofit. It's basically a way that we could get listed as a nonprofit organization through YouTube in their database, and there's some donation portal through that stuff too. So I'm applying for us to become recognized as the official YouTube channel for a nonprofit organization. So that could be something, that could be nothing, but I'm going to get us recategorized. So.
And, Tom, did you get the email with those documents
yeah.
from the government? Okay.
Good. Yeah. So thank you very much for that.
You're welcome. No problem.
I guess that's after this meeting tonight. So.
Okay, cool.
So, yeah, that's that.
All righty, any questions for Tom? If not, we'll move into the motions for tonight. Our first motion is the motion to approve Sandy Brown as the recording secretary, as the board recording secretary. Do we have a motion?
I'll make that motion.
And a second?
A second, this is Tom.
Any discussion?
Yay!
I need to just put in a pitch here first. I'm going to be traveling internationally with my husband about two or three times this year, so I really would like to do this for the IJ. I had stepped out for, what, a year and a half or two. I would still like to continue to do it if you all understand that that there will be maybe a month here or there that I will not be available. In September, I won't be available. I'll be in Tibet, and in May, I may not, depending on the when the meeting is. And I may not be at the festival. So, having said all of that, I still would like to help out wherever possible. I know I'll be able to attend March and April. So,
excellent. Sounds good to me.
You all have anybody else,
thank you.
My pleasure.
Okay, if there's no further discussion, we'll go to vote. Anyone opposed to the motion to approve Sandy Brown as Board Recording Secretary? Any abstentions? Motion passes. Welcome back, Sandy.
Thank you, Kim.
Item B is the motion to approve, and this was sent by David Landown, motion to approve shifting the forum activity from the forum to WordPress forum run in conjunction with the e-zine. Specifically, all the wide open forums and the open discussion members only forum would no longer accept new posts, and two new EZ forums would be started, one wide open and the other for members only. The Board Plus forum and the news forum would remain as they are. And there was more to David's email, which was sent out to the board explaining how all this works. So do we have someone to make this motion?
I'll make the motion, Mr. Tom.
And a second?
I'll second it, Dave.
And discussion?
As I understand it, this is basically to help solve the problem of logins. You have to have a separate login to access the, I guess, the old form or the PHORUM, the form software that we've been using the past however many years, versus the WordPress thing. So it's basically a way to integrate, you know, a forum environment with the e-zine environment that we've recently made.
Right.
Yeah, I would just say, given the stated volumes of how many posts we're getting, it almost can't be a bad idea.
Right.
I mean, what harm could be done? I think there have probably been more comments on the e-zine than there have been posts on the forums.
Yeah, so, absolutely.
Yeah, give it a try. See what happens. It can't be worse.
And we will not lose any of the discussions on our present forum.
Right.
They will all be archived, so we'll still be able to read those if necessary. So, all right. Any further discussion? If not,
the only thing.
Oh, go ahead.
I just want to, you know, it's going to be a heads up, basically. The it'll look different, and you know, so far I think there's like two posts there, so it's hard to tell what it's really going to look like in the WordPress forum. I'm not objecting to this or anything like that. But that will be one of the things that people will have to get used to, the new look and how to manage it for their own reading purposes.
Right. I guess the other thing that would be important to note is that this wouldn't change how any of the, like the IJ business forums are structured. We'd still be posting on the forum software and not on the WordPress, as I understand what David posted. So there was that.
That's the plan.
I mean, that affects, you know, 10 of us instead of everybody else.
Right. Okay, any further discussion? If not, we'll go to vote. Anyone opposed to shifting from forum to WordPress? Any abstentions? Motion passes. Item C, the motion to approve the 2012 operating budget, and I did specify that was the first draft. Or if someone feels that we should table this, a motion to table or a motion to approve, whichever someone would like.
I'm going to make a motion to table this, Kevin A.
And do we have a second for a motion to table?
I'll second that, Richard K.
Okay. Any discussion concerning tabling?
It just sounds like with our previous discussions today that there's more to be really understood. And if we finalize it, we might not go back to it. So I don't know. That's my thoughts.
Is that you, Kevin?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was Kevin.
Kevin made that motion and Richard seconded it?
That's correct. Yep.
Okay, thanks.
And I agree with you, Kevin. I think we need to kind of digest this a little bit more yet. And I'm hoping that by next month's meeting we can, by all means, contact Holly, contact John Nickel, have a discussion with them either through email or through the forums, you know, so that by next meeting we can put together this operating budget. We've had operating budgets in the past. We have not approved an operating budget in the last 2 years, so since 2010. We did not have one 2010 or 2011, and it's something we should have. So that's why it's being presented. So if there's no further discussion, the motion is to table the approval of the operating budget for 2012. Is there anyone opposed? Any abstentions? Okay, that motion is tabled. Item D is a motion to approve the proposed 2012 festival budget. Do we have someone to make that motion?
I'll make the motion. This is Tom.
And a second? Anyone to second?
We need to second.
We're just moving to discuss it, right?
Yep, moving to discuss.
Yeah, sure. I'll second that.
Okay. And discussion.
I think we should table this one, too, until we get a better plan on how many performers are coming.
I don't think it's responsible to approve a budget with so far in the red. We can't do that.
No, we can't do that.
Yeah.
So
at the very least, he's got to increase his member attendance, you know, to a reasonable amount that would keep us having festivals, like 300 people or something. I don't know. But, yeah, I think we should table this.
I agree. It does need to be tabled.
I think it needs to be tabled, but we very seriously need to have a lot more discussion about this in the very near future. I think.
Yes.
Yeah.
I want to run some numbers and I'll post them when I'm done, but I think what we're going to find is just something has to give here. Something's fishy because we can't really, like, give Matt a big empty room and $10 and tell him to put on a festival. And I'm worried that we're not that far off of that.
Well, 10 years ago, the Cascade of Stars budget was $10,000. Remember that, Martin? Well, he may not be here, but
I remember that.
Yeah, we said $10,000, and we were, we made a lot of money every festival.
I remember.
Yeah, $10,000. How did it double? You go away for a little while, you come back, and everything's doubled. It doesn't need to be, really.
Yeah, it doesn't need to. It specifically doubled in his projection because he's bringing in lots of foreigners from far, far away. In Lexington, I mean, you get a couple show people, but then you can feed the bottom with some really regional good people.
Exactly, and you did that.
But here's what started last year, and I was afraid this was going to snowball, and it kind of has. The per diem. Having not only paying for the ticket for them to get here and providing a room, but then giving them a per diem as well.
Oh, man, that's crazy.
And
I mean,
that cost us a ton of money last year. And I've just seen the budget go up and up because I realize that the economy's been tough, but part of this is service to your organization, a service to an organization that represents what's making you money as a performer. And I'm not a performer, so maybe I have the wrong mindset on this. And maybe I give too much at times. But I don't see charging money to perform at a fest like this when you are a juggler. I can see covering your expenses. I can see giving a little bit extra, I'm doing that at the fest that I'm organizing right now, my regional fest. But I'm also out there busting my buns, getting deals for us and getting sponsorships and things like that. And that can still be done with Winston-Salem. I have sent out a sponsorship letter to 25 major corporations in and around Winston-Salem. I haven't heard back from any of those. I need to start calling them. That I understand. But there are also places where the money can be cut back. I'm sorry, they may not be able to get a per diem. It's just the way it is.
You know, no festival director wants to be told by the board how to do the job, but the bottom line is that the board of directors has the fiscal responsibility of at least setting a zero, make it so that you come out zero, but don't potentially make it at a loss.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not for me to say, I'm sorry, I'm this recording secretary, but it's, you know, somehow things have veered, and I think, you know, you guys are in a really tough decision, tough position to be in, but, you know, you fortunately have the bottom line to say about it.
Okay. I will defend Matt a little bit. As far as the stars, the two stars, we'll say, I can see, especially if they're coming from a foreign country, I can see giving them a little bit of per diem. I think his is excessive. I will tell you, nobody knew this, but in Lexington, the Quebec group who came down for me, I personally gave them $700. But to tell you the truth, that turns out to be like $7 a day for each of those performers. I mean, it wasn't like $65 each a day. I could have done it if I wanted to, but I did. Nobody knew that. But that way, at least I had a little bit of eating money. But again, that was my star that year.
Yeah.
You know. So I mean, I can see doing it for the stars, but there's plenty of people on the lower ladders who I think would look at this as a great thing for the resume and a great exposure. And I was a performer, and you're always told this is great exposure, and that's a terrible line, but. But this is your life. This is your community. You know, you're juggling. This is the official organization for your thing. So I think you can get a lot of performers. I mean, I got Casey Bamer for really nothing in Lexington. And So I think there's always people to be found. I mean, when I talked to Rootberry, they wanted to do Lexington, and they weren't charging me nothing like the money he's talking about. So I don't know.
Even
the money he's talking about, you just mean the per diem? Because other than that, he's talking about flying people there and putting them in a room.
Right. Yeah, right. That's true. Yeah, I mean, that's the truth. I mean, you got to put them up. You got to put the stars up. I mean, and if it's a professional who's leaving a week's worth of work, that's when I think you get tricky.
Just a quick point of order. Are we still talking about the tabling of the
– Yes, we are.
Yeah, we kind of got off yeah. into a whole yeah. other discussion that we need to – kind of hold on to for the forums.
Yeah.
So let's get back to the budget. If we are finished with discussion about whether to table or not, let's go ahead and vote on the tabling of the festival budget. Anyone opposed? Oh, was the motion? No.
We have to make
a motion to table. Anyone want to make a motion to table? The festival budget.
I'll make that motion. Right. I'll second his motion.
Okay. Dave has made the motion. Richard motion second. Getting late. Alrighty. And if there's no further discussion, we'll go to vote. Anyone opposed to tabling the festival budget? Any abstentions? Okay, that is tabled. Motion to approve 100. Tom, please correct me. Is it 120 or 125?
I'd say up to 125.
Okay,
I guess it'll be a little bit deeper.
Motion to approve up to $125 for video tutorial contest donation premium.
I'll make that motion, Kevin A.
Okay. And a second?
I'll second that, Dave.
And discussion?
Could you clarify what donation premium means, please?
Donation premium. I don't have like the official legal definition in front of me, but basically it's a way to incentivize charitable donations. Like when you see, you know, like when NPR does their annual pledge drives, you know, they'll say, you know, people that give more than $150 will get an umbrella. They're not actually selling the umbrella, but it's a way of saying thank you.
How does that apply to us?
Basically, it's a donation premium for donations that are $5 or more that are going to go towards the shipping costs for the video tutorial contest.
So, Kevin, if you donate $5, you get a bumper sticker.
Yeah, and a warm, fuzzy feeling in your gut knowing that you are helping.
Right, and I get that. I'm just having trouble connecting that to the video tutorial contest. Are people donating?
Yes, they are. That is.
Who made the motion? Dave, did you make the motion?
Yes.
And who seconded it?
I did, Dave.
Okay.
Yeah, basically, I'm running a small fundraiser in tandem with the video tutorial contest to help offset the cost of shipping prizes.
Right. Okay. Yeah, I was just lining that up in my head. Got it.
Yeah. Sure. You bet.
Okay. Any further discussion?
I just want to say that the past 2 years of the video tutorial contest has been some of the most exposure we've had to not our regular viewers, so to speak, and that it's got definitely should continue and be supported.
I'd like to say that it's a little odd. You have a motion to spend up to $125 on premiums, but you haven't actually authorized the fundraising.
I mean, is that something that has to be authorized? We're going to enter this into the store and just have it as an item that you can put in $5 or more for.
Well, Martin's saying we need to add that to the motion.
Oh, okay, sure. Let's amend.
It seems wise.
What's that?
Could somebody read me the motion, please?
Currently it reads motion to approve up to $125
for tutorial
contest donation premium.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Okay.
And we're changing it to?
So it's a motion to approve up to $125 to pay for donation premiums for a fundraiser. For a fundraiser with donations earmarked to go towards shipping and other costs for the video tutorial contest.
Repeat, please. I guess we have to read it off.
Can we simplify that to just say?
Go for it.
Motion to approve. Motion to approve. Video.
$125.
No, I'm going to put something in between approve and the 120.
Okay.
Motion to approve fundraiser to offset shipping costs.
Yeah.
For video tutorial contest.
Yeah.
Donation premium. Okay. Board funding. Not to exceed $125. Does that make sense to you, Tom?
Yeah, I think so. Makes sense to everybody else.
Then we get the fundraiser approval in there and the amount that it's for and what it's for.
Beautiful.
Okay. I'll make the motion.
Okay, so Richard has made the motion for the amended version. Kevin has seconded the amended motion. Any further discussion? If not, we'll go to vote. Anyone opposed? Any abstentions? The motion carries.
Cool. Thanks, guys. I'm excited
to
see what happens.
Yeah. Okay, do we have anything for Varia tonight? It's quiet. Okay, if not, next board meeting, third Wednesday of the month, is February 15th. Is that bad for anyone?
I think so. That sounds bad. Let me pull up my calendar. Spider senses are tingling. Yeah, I will be unavailable on the 15th.
Okay. Will everyone else be all right?
I have no idea. Probably.
Okay.
It's good
well,
for me.
Okay. Let's, Richard, do you say it's good for you?
Yeah, it works.
Okay. All right. If you don't mind, Dave, we'll kind of keep it at the 15th.
If you think you can get by without me, I guess.
I don't know if we can. Really?
Yeah,
seriously, don't.
Yeah, my duties for one night.
That's okay. We all deserve a night off. But I'll email it to everyone because Matt and Aaron are not here right now. So at least I don't think Matt's still here. I don't see his number up. Yeah. So if they can't make it, then I'll get in touch with the board and we can reschedule. But that would be February 15th, 2012 at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time. And now we need a motion to adjourn.
I'll make that motion, Dave.
Okay.
I'll second it. This is Tom.
Okay. And anyone opposed to adjourning? Any abstentions? Meeting is adjourned at 10:42 p.m. Eastern Time. Thank you all very, very much.
Bye-bye, everybody.
All right. Sandy, are you still there?
Yeah, I am.
Okay.
I don't think we don't need a second to adjourn, do we?
Didn't I call for a second?
I mean, we don't need one, do we, when you adjourn?
I don't know, because you know what? The parliamentarian that we've had the last 2 years has said that we do.
Oh, really?
So, yeah.
Oh, my God, that lasted so long. Oh, my God.
Yes.
Listen, I'll get this out eventually. It's going to take me a while because I just typed kind of sloppily.
That's okay. Not a problem. I'm having problem with this board not discussing in between board meetings. They say,
"Are you around tomorrow? Are you around tomorrow, Kim? I have the day off."
I'll be free. I'm free from about 20 after 11 until noon, so I have about a 40-minute window there.
Yeah, and I'm free.
I'm available longer because I have prep, but I think we have a meeting tomorrow.
Oh, that's your lunch break?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't want to use your lunch break. Listen, let's catch up in the next couple of days. And then we can just. I just need to catch up a little bit with just the major stuff that's happening, so I know what. We don't have a magazine anymore, right?
No, unfortunately not.
Hey, you guys made the tough decision. I think you made the right decision.
Yeah, I'm still not happy about it, and it's going to be interesting to see what it does to our numbers. Very interesting.
Well, you know, I can't afford it.
Oh, I know. I realize that, and I need.
I bet that wasn't easy, huh?
No, it wasn't easy. You thought this meeting was long. That one went until 11:30 that night, my time.
Oh my God! Oh my God!
Yeah, it went forever because we just kept going round and round and round.
Oh my God! That must have been horrible.
Yeah.
Well, Kim, listen. Let's try to catch up at least by the weekend or something.
Okay. All right.
Hey,
if
good
you need
job.
Anything, let me know.
Okay. Hey, listen. Good night. I'll talk to you soon.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.